君を呼ぶ旋律はこの空の果て、
永遠を誓い祝福を授けよう。
回り続ける、
the next 8-4 Play podcast. I am your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald, here in business casual today.
Not even casual.
That's not even business. Yeah, it's not casual.
This is business serious. It's serious business.
About games
time.
And Japan and Japanese games or something like that. Here with the full crew, the full regular crew. No special guests, but you're all special to me.
Thanks, Mark.
We're going to try the new thing again. I haven't really gotten much reaction if people like it or not, but we'll do it anyway. We'll introduce you with the nicknames, and then stay tuned to the end of the podcast if you want to find out.
Is this like the hook?
Burning questions. That's right. The fun part is I don't even know what any of these really are, except for one of them.
It's like the start of a game show right now.
Well, yes. Like,
we should just hand you an envelope.
Hour and a half long, terrible game show.
I'm glad that you're admitting it, though.
But yes, and thank you for that, JJ Menkyo Kusai Epperson. Oh,
that's pretty good.
I came up with that in 10 seconds right before the podcast. Other than that, JJ, you're going to take it away here. I'm going to read them, though. These are all provided to us by the 8-4 Collective here.
Yes, right. The Hive Mind.
These people do this for a living. Just bear that in mind.
Only this is good.
John, Push It to the Limit, Ricciardi.
Yep. Okay.
Roy, The Great Betrayal, Blakely. Dun, dun, dun. Sarah Wilhelm Bacon, Podzorski.
Yeah, the Wilhelm Bacon.
And
it's like the Wilhelm Scream, but
of course.
Bacon.
And then Graham, Last Man Standing, Howard.
You could stand to work on my name a bit.
Graham? I want to know, no one is has a nickname named after this terrible
thing
that is on the table of our here in front of us.
I wasn't here when it came, and I came in the next day, and it's the name of it is Pizzelle, and I was like,
Pizzelle.
Oh,
they're not terrible.
Like,
they're
like little pizzas, right? And I ate one.
That was a gift from friend of the show, Brian Gray.
Okay, I don't mean to cast aspersions on
as you
Italians,
as you do it,
but I'm about to here. The original little Pippies. It claims that they are tempting, and it claims original anise flavor, which
star anise.
Yes, come to find out, means basically it tastes like black licorice, so it tastes like death.
Like, so you're not a black licorice fan.
Horrible death. Now,
are you a red licorice fan?
Yes.
Okay.
So there is only one licorice. There's licorice, and then there's black licorice.
I see.
There's licorice, which is good, and there's terrible.
This may be like sacrilege at this table, but red licorice to me just tastes like plastic. Like you're eating plastic.
You're eating the wrong. Certain red licorice, I agree with you, does taste like wax.
Okay.
Right? But like Twizzlers?
Twizzlers are great.
Australian licorice
I couldn't do it.
Cheap licorice is, I think it is actually wax.
red vines are kind of nasty, but Twizzlers are good.
I'd rather just have a fruit roll-up.
I like nibs.
So stay tuned for more of this. Your taste buds, though, we have determined, died a long time ago.
They're tasty, man. They're fun-sized also.
You swallowed that M80 that went off in your mouth. So stay tuned for more fun like this at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
But for now, we're actually going to talk about some video games because people have been playing them these last couple weeks. Some of us have, John. You have the last couple hours, right? As we're recording this, hot off of the virtual presses.
That's right.
Fire Emblem Heroes.
Yes.
The mobile, first ever mobile Fire Emblem game, mobile smart device, what have you.
Yes.
Is it out? Is what came out on iOS and Android?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
But still not out on the American store as of
the second.
Okay, so we're recording this on a Thursday night in Japan time, and it came out just a couple. You were like refreshing all day, basically, right? So it's hopefully it's out in America as the time you're listening.
Sure, I'm sure it will be
Friday morning. So tell us about it.
Who else has got it? I've got it. Graham's been playing.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, me.
Is it just us?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's only been 2 hours, to be fair.
I know, but I love it so far. It's really good. I mean, it's bite-sized Fire Emblem. It's super addictive. Maybe that's just because I'm a Fire Emblem fan.
Me too. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect it to be. I mean, it's obviously it's very tiny. Like, you've only got 4 units on your team. There's only a few on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And each map, like, only takes, like, 30 seconds. So you can really just plow through them. It's just like...
Wait, the map still takes a little longer seconds? Than
that. I mean
I skip combat animations, so yeah. I just, you know, zip through it. But each individual one, you know, it's very small. And so you can just, you know, you have all these tiny...
That is small.
Yeah, small size. You have little strategy maps since you have these tiny challenges.
Is that the whole map? It doesn't scroll?
That's it. It's the whole map.
That's it.
They're designed to be bite-sized, you know, so that you can play them on the go, basically.
I knew they would be small from the footage that we saw on the Fire Emblem Direct. I didn't think it would be that. I mean, I didn't know it would be confined to one screen. I definitely didn't think they would be, like, less than a minute long. So it really is, like, a new... like weaponized version of Fire Emblem. It's like a new like quick hit, like Whippet.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem Whippets. Maybe they couldn't get that name actually, and that's why they named
that's
it
why
Heroes.
They went with Heroes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's totally like exactly like that. And it's
you can really get through a map that fast.
I mean, I turn off combat animations, it's really quick, you just zip along. Especially at the beginning. The enemies are really, really weak.
Yeah.
Because they're just easing you into it. So I mean I've just been plowing through absolutely everything immediately.
But. Do you ever end up getting more than 4, or do we know?
Probably. Oh, no, at the moment you can only have 4 on your team, but maybe, right. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it's a gacha thing, so you'll get tons of more.
I'm guessing you won't get more than 4 per team.
At the same
team.
Time. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
if they limit it to one screen, it seems like there's not enough real estate, really.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But it's set up very much like your kind of typical Japanese gacha game, like the good ones anyway. It's very much like in the vein of, you know, Monster Strike or Puzzle and Dragons or whatever, where you're kind of like rolling to get characters on your team and then setting up different teams with elements based, you know, on who you're fighting against. So like it hasn't really come into play that much because we're still super early in the game, but it's one of those things where like, you know, if the enemy is this element, you want to set up a team with that element to take on that enemy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you have the weapon triangle from Fire Emblem where, you know, swords beat axes beat lances, and lances beat swords.
And it's always in the bottom right corner there.
Okay.
Just as a helpful reminder.
And you can get, so gacha, we've talked about on the podcast all the time, and we probably forget some people who just don't even, it's basically like a capsule machine, right, which are really popular here in Japan, and that's like the base mechanic for a lot of these games where it's like, oh, you know, if you keep buying capsules, maybe one will pop out that has,
right.
You can get the same character too, right? It's like a Pokemon.
Yes.
Where you can get the same character, but it will have different stats, different attributes. This time it will be like a fire attribute, Donnie, or whatever.
With different star values, because there's like this 3-star, 4-star, 5-star, depending on how strong they are. So some have like 5-star and 4-star versions. And if you get duplicates, you can combine them together to make them stronger. So it's not wasted if you get, you know, a double roll on something.
Interesting. Okay.
Also, so it's fun as a Fire Emblem fan, because finally there's a gacha game with characters that I care about in them.
Because
like with Granblue, like if you're just jumping into Granblue, if you follow that, I'm sure it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But like with this, I know all these characters. I love them. So if you just jump in and you know, I haven't gotten any of the ones that I want yet, but I still, you know, I know them and I enjoy them.
Is it in English if your device is set to English?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I got it from the Japanese store, Japanese, my Nintendo account and everything, but it's fully the English version because I have my phone set to English. So presumably that means wherever you are, you can play any language as long as your phone setting is set to it.
So what about like, you know, cutscenes, relationship building between battles, story?
There's a lot of like periphery stuff in here that I haven't explored yet. I've literally just started and then played a few battles until I had enough what are they called in this
orbs.
Game? Gems, orbs to do like a full pull on the gacha, and then I got the first five characters. And I got a good one in there. I got a 5-star. So
nice.
Robin from Awakening. But
cool.
Yeah, and
male or female version?
Male. I wonder if there is a female version in this or not. I don't know. But anyway. But there's other stuff. Like looking around the menu, and there's like, you know, there's arena battles and there's daily special maps that have like specific characters and like come in like different difficulty levels. And there's, you know, skills. I haven't even touched the skills yet, but you can learn skills and equip them on your character.
If you kill an enemy with a character, they get SP. And if you get enough SP, you can trade that in for a skill that you can then apply to that character.
Mm-hmm.
If your characters die, do they go away?
No.
What?
They live on.
What?
Yep. I don't think they could. Yeah, they can't make them.
Sacrilege.
If you
what?
Spent
all the more
money,
reason. All the more reason.
That would be so cruel. You spend money on a gacha. You get a character you've been waiting for, and then they die.
Because I feel like all the things that you guys have explained so far are more or less every other Japanese gacha
game. But this one is probably like the first phone game ever to actually have a game that's fun to play in it. Because it's just Fire Emblem, and you're not just like tapping on your characters to make them randomly attack another enemy on screen.
No, you're dragging them.
Yeah.
We've evolved!
Yeah, but there's numbers and there's thinking involved there. So
I would agree. Yes, there is. Like, okay. It's not, I mean, it's still early on, but you're absolutely, like, you know, it's the same basic Fire Emblem mechanic, like I said, with the weapon triangle and, like, you know, arrow bows take out flyers, and there's things to consider when you're playing. So, like, it's like bite-sized strategy, or what'd you call it? It's a Fire Emblem
Whippets. Yes. Okay. It does still sound like it's like heavily dependent on what gacha pulls you get, just because when you get to the higher levels, you're just going to need the strongest characters.
Yeah, but we don't know because we're not at the higher levels
yet. It'll be interesting to see the progression and how like kind or not it is in terms of like, no, okay, now you really hit a wall, you need to buy stuff, or no, yeah, you really could just play this game for free if you have the patience.
I'm kind of curious about like if it has multiplayer in any way. Like, do you even have friends like that you can share one of their units or something, or is it just
did they
a
say
purely
anything about that in the direct? So. I mean, what's the arena? Maybe that's just
the Coliseum. I think it's just you versus the computer.
It's a level up.
Okay. If it's just that, I could imagine it kind of getting old a little quickly. Just because a lot of the newer ones, they have something like
a social aspect.
Yeah, that kind of makes it a little more interesting.
Dual rivals from around the world. Choose from three rival armies to start a challenge. Requires one dueling sword to battle. So
okay,
you're playing against
that
other players.
Like for sure.
Probably not. Like, you're just playing against like their uploaded character, I imagine. But
this is like a new thing for A4Play. It's like, let's play a mobile game live on the thing. It's like, oh, here's
like
this.
A let's play on radio.
Exactly.
Which is very fun.
Slowly stepping back.
I wasn't on the last episode or the last two episodes actually, but I wasn't on when you guys talked about the direct. But you know, it seems to me like this is like, you know, basically to me, this seems like the game that's actually. People haven't been saying this. I was like, Mario's the big game, Pokemon's. I think this is the one that's going to make them the most money because like
really?
this has the potential to be like a Grand Blue or like a, you know, because it's the same in Japan, I should say. Yeah,
right.
Sorry, because it's the same. It's tickling all those same things that those games tickle that make people want to come back and like keep spending money. But it's a franchise people know and care about. It's not something ground up from nothing.
Right.
And it's polished as hell. It's like super, super polished, like high production values, crazy animation on all the little units. You know, full screen. Like when I did my summon, for the characters, when I got the 5-star, it like pulled up this like full screen, like you know, FMV
CGI.
With like that awesome, you know, visual style or whatever. And like, it looked really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, take the sort of format that is known to work if the game's good enough, and then put the Nintendo sort of polish and
production
like, franchise
values.
And everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to me, that's like a formula for success. And I know there's no guarantees of success in mobile anything. Like,
right.
Yeah. You never know. But to me, it seems like if there could ever be something that was like designed to be a big success, this is probably it.
Yeah, it is. It is so cutthroat in mobile, and like I think a lot of it comes down to how many times an hour you see a commercial on TV.
Right.
I mean, Granblue motherfucking Fantasy, you cannot not see a commercial if you watch an hour of Japanese TV.
Yeah.
That fucking girl, it's either a girl or a guy running through a bunch of blue shit.
It's on the train, too. It's always on the train.
Everywhere.
Did I tell you the story where, well, I guess we did. We talked about this over Christmas break, but my brother-in-law, who's a comedian, who's like really good friends with Suda51, like couldn't appear at Suda51 events because Yoshimoto Kogyo, the company that he belongs to, has an exclusive contract with Cygames and Granblue Fantasy. So, okay. Like, literally, they, like, hold
seen
famous people. Yeah.
Playing any other game.
Any other game.
Yeah, I mean, well,
they, like, just...
It makes sense.
It's a lot of money.
Yes, there's tons of money going around, and it is very much spend money to make money, and so... You know, with Mario Run, I didn't really see any TV for it.
There's a lot.
Really?
You didn't see that one commercial with Mario running through, like, what was it, Times Square or something?
Yeah,
like, it was on a billion times over the holidays.
They had it on
Japan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw it so many times.
Yeah, I didn't see that, and I see tons and tons of mobile things. So I think that will be interesting. And also, like, you know, the investor thing with mobile games is such a different, it's like totally separate from how good of a game it is or not, right? How much money it makes. So it's going to be judged a success on a lot more than just how good of a game it is. But that's something we should just check into like 2 weeks from now and see if you're actually, you know, still playing it or how much money you've spent.
Yes.
If you've gone back
I guarantee you I'm going to spend
dark,
money on this.
Lonely road.
I guarantee you I'm spending money on this. Man. I can tell already.
I did two full pulls. Like, I got 10 characters from the gacha thing.
Yeah.
And I was really hoping my favorite Fire Emblem games are 4 and 5 on the Super Nintendo. So I was like, I want characters from one of these games.
Yeah.
I pulled it. I got a whole bunch of really garbage characters, a lot of 3 stars. And then afterwards, I found out that 4 and 5 characters are not even in the game yet. So, I mean, I'll be coming back whenever they actually add.
Oh, characters from those games, you mean?
Oh, okay, yeah, because John got 5 stars.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, 4 or 5. Fire Emblem 4 or 5 are not in there.
Did you pay money for those pulls?
You get one full set for free right at the beginning.
Right.
And then I earned another one just by playing through the story maps.
Gotcha. All right, well, we'll check in a couple weeks. But a game that I want to talk about a lot, have been dying to talk about. And Sarah, you have also
played
this game as well, Resident Evil 7.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have, we actually had it kind of planned. We were going to try to do it in time for this podcast, but we had some friends from Capcom and CVX Freak and some other people. We were going to reunite and do the other, I don't even know if I should be saying this, but we were going to do basically like a Resident Evil 7 special edition Resident Evil podcast. That's probably going to have to wait till hopefully next episode.
Resident Evil 8.
Yeah, or that.
Exactly. I think we joked about that at Resident Evil 6 time, and it ended up happening. Yeah. So just be careful about what you joke about. But
be careful what you wish for.
This is very doable. There's like some Skype thing and time zones that actually conspired against us. But there's no way that I can wait to talk about this. I have to talk about this game. So just to kind of set the table, Sarah. So were you like a Resident Evil fan? Have you played the previous games?
No, but I'm like a horror game fan.
Okay.
So that's where I'm coming from.
And what are some of your...
My favorite horror games?
Yes.
My first one was Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And then I moved up...
This one got a lot of people into it.
Yes, and then I moved up to sort of like Outlast.
Okay.
It was really scary.
You liked Outlast?
I liked Outlast. Okay. I thought that was like a really good one. And then... Right. Soma, I really liked Soma, but not many people know about that one.
Soma's Machine the water one, right?
Pace. Yeah. Oh, I played that one, but I didn't.
Oh, is that not Soma? Is that the sequel?
It's
or something?
The people who made Amnesia made Soma,
right?
And then not the original people who made Amnesia. It's like whoever they got acquired by made Machine for Pigs.
Okay.
And so I played that one, and it wasn't as good as Amnesia.
Okay.
So.
All right. So mostly you're playing these games mostly on PC.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what was the impetus then? Was it just the horror thing to jump into Resident Evil 7 immediately? Because you've already finished it.
Yeah.
As have I. Let's try to keep it spoiler-free. Yeah, totally spoiler-free. But before I launch, because I've talked about it on Twitter, you probably know.
Yeah, you're going to get super into it, but I just think it's fascinating.
As John, you played it a little bit too, we should say.
Yeah, I played it. Maybe I should talk about it first because I don't have much to say, but like you... I've known you for like over 20 years now, and like you, every now and then it's like a comet coming by or something. You get like super into a game, and like super, it becomes like you're like the spokesperson for the game, and like you're like to the point where like you're gonna buy it for everybody, and like it's almost like what happened with Destiny. Only this is a game I think is more a game that I actually like and care about. So I think it's really fascinating. But like, you know, the fact that you're this into the game is really surprising to me because
this is definitely one of those games that I feel like. Very few times in a lifetime actually comes around. And again, I have to preface all of this with saying I played the entire game only in VR.
No. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big part of it.
It's all the difference. It's all the difference.
And I feel like it's paradigm shift level of like game experience.
Absolutely.
And I only played it for 35 minutes or so in VR. Yeah.
I watched someone play it in VR on YouTube. And it made me sick.
Was it their first time?
I think so. Yeah. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to preface it, I think you not only do you have to play it in VR, you have to play it in VR your first time through, because even in VR, after your first time going through, when you have an idea of what's around the next corner,
once you know what to expect,
it's a completely different experience. You have to play it alone. There's a lot of you have to.
A lot of caveats.
Here he goes.
A lot of money that has to be spent.
It all makes sense if you think about it, but you have to be alone in the room. Even having another person
alone in the dark
in the room. It should be dark anyway for VR. And there's no reason to have your TV on.
Well, the thing is, you got a VR helmet on anyway, so couldn't it be totally bright out? You're not going to know the difference.
You can see a little bit underneath, no matter how tight you get the PlayStation 4, the VR headset.
There's a thing in Japan, just a quick aside, there's this thing that around with some nerds in Japan, basically, where people wear like underwear on their head to cover the block.
Oh, it's a condom. I'm talking about a ski mask.
To be honest, the joke, the guy who started this thing, like he just took like his girlfriend's basically underwear and like put it on, and like you could wear it as a mask to like block the thing of letting light in under your VR thing, and it kind of became a meme in Japan. But yeah, you do need something to block that light out.
No subtitles. Have subtitles. You have to be.
It doesn't have subtitles by default, does it?
I don't know if it defaults to on or off. I think it does. Which I hate in games in general. If you have good voice acting, you should have that off anyway.
Sure,
but in VR, especially, and in that game especially,
right?
You don't want to be like seeing ahead what someone's saying when like a fucking maniac is calling like here, piggy, and like hunting you. You don't want to just like see it like written on the the screen. Piggy. And honestly, I think the game is definitely at its best when the UI is not even there, too, which is very minimal AI. But good God, man, if you can do all of those things, I guess last caveat is that if you get sick, I got sick actually the first two times playing it after about 25, 30 minutes.
When you start to play this game for the first time in VR, the first thing I notice, probably everybody notices, is the
movement.
Right stick camera movement is very weird.
Yes.
Like it's nothing I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
It taps you in like 30-degree increments when you hit the stick.
Correct.
So if you want to look to the right, normally in any game you just turn the camera right and you smoothly move to the right. But in this game it jumps you.
You move right and it goes ding, ding, ding. Yeah, exactly.
That really threw me off. Like I did not like that and I turned it off almost immediately.
Yep. So
were you getting sick from that or were you getting sick? Okay.
In fact, the opposite. So that was weird to me. That was weird to me, too, starting off. It was like, wait, what? There's a tutorial that walks you through how to do VR. And it was like, how is this? This can't work. It feels weird and artificial.
It takes you out of the experience.
It feels like it's taking you out of the experience. But one, turning it off made me immediately ill, like violently ill.
Oh, really?
Turning it off where it was smooth, it was just like, nope, like immediate. Nope, back. Turned it back on.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I absolutely got used to it to where by the end, like, I mean, not even by the end, but after probably that first hour, still with it on, I got sick. Like I said, twice I had to take a break, two times at like 25 minutes and then another like 35 minutes in. But then after that, I had like a 2-hour session. I had like a 4-hour session, another 4-hour session. Like, yeah. And I did not
nonstop
mind it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I finished it.
But all of those were with the clicky movement.
All of them were with the head with the in VR and with the clicky movement. So I actually, it's a person by person thing. You can actually change the amount of degrees that you move too, from 30 degrees if you want to make it 45,
right.
Or 90. You can. There's also a quick turnaround, which becomes pretty important, and it doesn't just like warp you and immediately move your view. It actually like swings you around. Mm-hmm. But you know, also in that game you are jumping down places sometimes. You're like sidestepping and going through like crevasses and things like that, and it actually works okay. I was surprised that I did not get sick, because normally anytime camera movement is taken away from the player, it makes you feel ill. But like if you're looking down a little like 5-foot drop and then you expect I think to fall down the 5-foot drop, and then whatever they're doing with the movement and stuff like that, that is part of what is like a huge revelation of this game to me, is that a first person game can work in VR and not be that warpy pod, you know, where you like shoot a pod forward, like in budget cuts and then appear there.
Right.
Which up until now was the only way that I had seen that really worked without getting you sick. There were some other people tried something where you just normal movement that made you sick. Like, you kind of would zoom towards the spot also. That just felt like artificial and weird. Mm. But this just completely felt like you were there. And holy shit, that game. Oh my God. If you play it in VR, it is just like it's such a stupid cliche, but you really are fucking there. You're like, really? Are you really going to walk into this house that's just in the middle of fucking nowhere? This like dark house?
That's exactly where I stopped. It is terrifying.
It's so fucking scary.
I started the game at 1:30 in the morning after a long ass day, and I was pretty stressed that day. And I got home and I was like going to go to bed. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can't go to bed. Like, this is like an opportunity to play this game in VR. It was like the first night
you got to play it at night too, by the way. That's the other thing. It has to be night.
Shout out to Capcom. Thank you for hooking us up.
That's right.
They gave us codes to play.
Should mention that.
I was not hooked up. Not one bit.
Okay, Sarah. I went home and played, and like I played for like the first 30 minutes, and it was, and I yet left the camera smooth, and I was okay. It didn't really bother me.
I'm jealous.
I'm generally pretty good with that. I don't get sick very often, but that said, it was only 35 minutes, so I don't know. Beginning of the game, you're like wandering around the woods a little bit, and it's a little creepy and stuff. And I was definitely like, okay, the atmosphere is really amazing. But I got to that door or a door where I could go inside house, and I was looking in the door, like, you know, in VR, like trying to see what's in there, and I couldn't see anything. And I was like, fuck this. And I just put it, took it off, and went to bed. It was like, I was legitimately, and I don't get scared about like horror movies don't scare me. I don't I'm not afraid of the dark or whatever.
I don't either.
I was terrified. I was like, I am not going in that house.
The only thing I can compare to is PT. There was a point at PT, and I downloaded it the first night after
PT scared me.
Was it the fetus in the toilet
thing?
Was it like the bathroom door?
It was the bathroom door.
Where you kind of have to like, really kind of.
Yes, exactly. It was that part. I'm like, I was home alone. It was at night. It was like 3 a.m. I'm like, I actually don't think I can play this. And it's a really weird feeling. It's like, I think I'm too scared to play this. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and stuff say that. And actually, every time starting it, Resident Evil 7, even now when I start it, I'm kind of like, this is like I really kind of having to force myself. It's this weird,
it's unsettling.
I'm enjoying it so much, but fuck, it makes walking into a empty dark room like one of the most exciting game experiences I've ever had.
Oh my gosh.
Just super fucked up. Like, it's really crazy. But like, you don't know anything that's in there.
Yes,
what's
you
coming
do.
Out. You
yes,
have
you
no
do.
Fucking idea.
You know, every single house has a boss. Every single house has a key.
Yeah.
Every single house has a gun, and there's a safe room in every single house.
Yeah.
So to
but
me, that
know.
Was really boring. I walk in, and I'm like, where's the boss? Gotta find it. Boom, boom.
Yeah,
cap
but
him
I think
in the
that's
head.
Different when... I think that that's...
First of
I
all,
think
you're
that's
not
why
playing
the,
in VR.
Exactly. I
no.
think that's why
it's
the VR thing...
It's completely fucking different. I mean, it is... I totally get it. I wish I could have... Like, rewind time where you hadn't seen anything, put a VR helmet on you, because it's like, it really is like, yeah, you know what, in real life, if you were walking into, even though you know obviously it's not going to hurt you, if you knew things were going to jump out and scare you at like a haunted house or whatever, and you're in it alone, like, you're going to be scared even from like, okay, is this an empty room? I don't know. And
right.
like, you end up doing things that you would do in real life that you never do in a video game. And I bet you would not have done this playing it not in VR. But for example, peeking around corners and into rooms and stuff like that, you do that every fucking room. Like, every room. You're just like, okay, why would I just walk into this room? No, nope. Why would I do that? Of course I'm going to just fucking like poke my head in just a little bit and see if
and
I can see
anything. And that was amazing
to
me. That was a genuinely new experience that I have never experienced in a video game
Did
before.
Did it train you to do that? Were there times where you peeked in and you were like, oh shit, and then you had to like run away?
No.
Or was you just out of fear?
Well, actually, there are a couple times in the game where if you do that, you will see something before you would have just walking in.
Imagine that. In a horror game.
The other thing is that I close doors behind me, which I like. I don't know if I mean,
see,
you don't have to do
that's
that.
That's something you learn in like Alice and Amnesia. You're like, get in, close the fucking door. Get in, close the door.
Yeah.
Shit follows you,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, then
I like the one thing I really liked about Evil Within is that you can kick doors in, because I need that boost of energy to have the,
right.
to have the courage to enter the room.
Okay.
I'm like, I would bang
Resident
every
Evil
door.
Too. No, I do that. I do that too, because you can like push it open and you can actually walk up to it and push it open. Mm-hmm. But I would just like walk up as far away as I can be and still open and then like, boom, and then like back up a little
bit. Sorry. Are you playing with move controllers or just the DualShock?
Just the DualShock.
Can you play with move controllers?
I don't know.
You can't. No. So, and the shooting controls in VR are perfect. I mean, the first time that the enemies, I'm not going to like get into what it is, who it is, whatever that you're fighting.
It's a Resident
Evil
game.
But.
Yeah, but don't spoil it.
But, like, that is, you know, bigger than you, that is life-sized, you feel it in a way that you absolutely do not in 2D. Like, when it is right in your face coming up on you, I had to take moments where I just sat there like, I like literally like realized like I am just like recovering now from what just happened. Just like sitting there. And also The same thing would happen sometimes where I would walk into a room and I would see like a it's not going to spoil anything, but like a bloody like table or something. And I would just have to sit there for a second and just like, okay, I just have to fucking deal with this for a second. Like, what the fuck is going on
I
in
wanna
this room?
I want to watch you
like,
play.
Yeah.
This sounds
yeah.
like
yeah,
no
yeah, yeah, I guarantee like you, your first time in VR. And so I basically like, to test this theory, just like spread the love. Like I'm planning to do like these VR Resident Evil 7 sessions with friends.
I want
to
do that.
With a PS Pro, you absolutely have to come. Okay. PS Pro too, like... You have to play on a PS Pro. I wasn't playing on PC. PC probably looks better if you have a mm-hmm. badass PC. Mm-hmm. But right now, VR, the only place that you can do it is PSVR.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the outside beginning part, actually, I didn't think looked that great. The outside,
no,
it's
yeah.
hard to... I mean,
most of the game looks pretty low-res if you look at the PC version, like, comparatively.
But once you get inside houses and you're in those closed environments, it looks really good. Mm. I thought it looked great. Nice. And the times when I was actually... interacting with another human being were also really weird. Like, is that VR dissonance kind of thing, or Uncanny Valley, where they're like, okay, wow, that really feels like another person is like in the room now. Mm. It's kind of this like weird, awkward feeling sometimes, or like, there's so many things I want to talk about from the, that would be spoiler caliber things,
right.
But like, I... Also, like, just to give you an idea of how bad it was, like, my wife walked in one time while I was doing it. And part of the reason why I had to be alone is scared the living shit out of me to the point where I was like...
Intentionally, or are you just...
No, not at all. She was just, like, standing next to me. And I was like, I thought I heard something. I started to take the headset off and saw her there and immediately, like, freaked out. But she was going to come into the room, which normally I only played after she went to bed. She had to call me. Because otherwise, aww. I honestly didn't know if I was going to, like, yeah, like freak out and, like...
Punch
right?
her? Like,
well, no, not, like, punch her on purpose, but, like, if I flailed my arms or something, she sat down next to me or something
you
like
hit
that.
My hand!
So we worked out a system, but... some of the voice acting is really, really good. Some of it is, like, a little, like... If that was a real person, they would be super freaked out by that. There was like there's like a little bit of those moments, but like less than any other Resident Evil. It really feels like you are inside Resident Evil 1, like the original Resident Evil 1. There's like a smaller, learnable mansion, which is the one other thing that I would say about VR, like. Maybe.
Don't you think they need to remake Resident Evil 1 in VR now? Like, wouldn't that be amazing? I would love to
so
go
here's
in
the,
that mansion.
The problem, though, it would have to be an all-new mansion, because I noticed even when you do die a bunch in the game and you have to repeat sections over. Well, yeah. If you're playing, yeah. Well, maybe if you're playing on easy, you don't.
I'm playing on easy.
Okay, yeah. You do die a bunch. You have to go back and do the section again. And you find yourself, especially if you do it a bunch, just like kind of like running through. Like, okay, I know this thing's going to come out here. Yeah. Okay, bam, I'm going to open this door. I'm not even going to shoot that guy. Da, 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 da. But so if it was the mansion, you already kind of knew the layout. I think it would be like...
They could remake it in the way that they remade the GameCube version, where like it's
true.
The same but slightly different.
No,
you know
if
what
they
I mean?
Did a GameCube-esque remake, if they, like, yeah. but they had to do the same whole
know,
thing
I
over
know,
again.
I know.
The one other thing that I noticed was that I realized after like the first day was that the house that you're in, like, I knew that house, like, the layout of that house, even having only been through it once. Whereas, like, in other Resident Evil games, you know, the camera angles and stuff like that is like, was that door a bathroom or was that to the other hallway?
Right.
Like, you have to go through it a bunch before you actually remember it.
Sure.
This time, first time through, because
you were there.
Been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I'd been
you
to
were
an
there.
Open house. And it's like, I know that, okay, that's where
worst open house ever.
that's where the broken staircase is. And like, I know when I'm up here, like I must be getting close to the upper part of that same room. Like you completely have a mental map, perfect mental map of it your first time through, because it's like you are walking through it yourself.
That's
it really is. It is.
Huh.
It is completely the future. I can't even stress it enough. I feel like a crazy person, especially on Twitter, because I'm like, I was avoiding reviews, but now I'm going back and reading them. And some reviews are like, yeah, you know, if you play it in VR, it's kind of cool. I don't know. Whatever. Like, yeah, maybe for a little bit. It's not
I didn't
a
think
big
it would be that
whatever.
Big of a deal.
It is the entire fucking game. Like, my thing about this game is do not play it unless you're playing it in VR.
I agree with that.
Some people can't find some people can't find the headset. Some people, you know, it's hard to find.
It's a shame that Sony didn't have a lot more ready for this game's launch.
It is. It is. Yeah. It's. I mean, that this thing should be a pack-in. This thing should be. This is a killer app and like a deal maker, a proof of concept of VR
for
people who are skeptical, and a full ass, real ass like game.
Yeah.
AAA production values, everything game.
It's also
boss fights work in VR. Like a lot of kind of like, oh, you can do that in VR. Inventory management works fine in VR. The combat works in VR. Even melee combat works in VR. Like it's really amazing. I think it is like one of those games. I don't know how it's going to end up selling, but I think it is one of those games that people will look back on and be like, that was like a watershed moment for VR.
It's pretty amazing. I'm super proud of those guys we have good friends who are actually very involved in the making of that game, but I mean, it's awesome to me that it's Resident Evil, because probably people who know us, me and you, Mark, for a long time know, but like we used to be really, really hardcore Resident Evil fans, and I think it fell off around 5. And
I mean,
like,
go back and listen to the
I never thought it would come back. I never thought they were gonna, like, I thought it was done, like it's over. It's like Star Wars was for me for a while. I was like, oh, this was a thing,
it's
but
just
I'm
go
over it now.
More and more Final Fantasy direction, although I guess 15 they kind of came back. Yeah, you kind of like give up on these series, and you're like, it's just gonna be this campy whatever thing now.
Punching Godzilla on a skyscraper, whatever.
Punching a rock.
No, yeah. Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. No. A boulder. This, like, could not be farther away. Like, this game is very much in, like, it's not, you know, completely. It does still, as everybody's talking about, have some of the, for I think for the better, some of the Resident Evil, more recent Resident Evil kind of moments, or even from the beginning. I will say, without spoiling stuff, there are a couple points where it kind of veers into the RE5, RE6 area, where I kind of wish they would have stayed in the more grounded. Mm. The first one-third of the game, I think, is the best.
Yeah.
And the last one-third is, I think, the worst, sadly.
Yep.
But even that last one-third... you know, I finished it at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning because I just could not stop. It was like, how would I was not even like thinking about time or anything like that.
It's like you're trapped inside of an IKEA, a horror IKEA. You can't tell what time it is outside because you're trapped in VR.
That's right.
I think, you know, it's also really important in a way that it's like, this is, like I said earlier on, it's really one of those super rare experiences where you can actually get something new out of video games, which is like not that comes along 4 or 5 times in your life, maybe. I mean, like, so it's super cool that, you know, you can get that from this.
I
noticed
it really felt like that really crazy rare old feeling where it's like, this is something entirely new.
Yeah,
that
like Mario 64.
Mario 64 is exactly the feeling that I had. And actually, the first Resident Evil felt that way, like, to me. And, you know, Remake 2 a little bit, but this is exactly how I was with the first Resident Evil.
I think, like, two things that I noticed, too, is, like, I feel like this is the first time I felt before a game, like, I need to sort of stretch my, like, do, like, like neck, you know, stretching before
exercise.
I play. Because you, like, jerk around or whatever if you're, like, hear something behind you.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, and I told people in the offices before, but, like, I thought it was super fascinating that, like, part of the terror for me is that in a non-VR game, if I look away from the screen, I'm in my living room.
Sure.
But look away in VR. I tried, and then you're like, well, I'm still here. Like, there's nowhere to run.
Yeah,
you're
that's
like,
a
you're,
good...
No, that's...
It's claustrophobic in the right way.
In headphones, too.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to be wearing headphones, but there's no... You're only seeing what's in the world. There's no, not even the borders of your TV. Even if you have like a 60-inch TV, the couple times I would like take the VR headset off and look at the TV, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm in a room just sitting here playing a game. How fucking lame is that? I don't know, Sarah, like, so what your experience was playing in 2D.
Do you want to hear
virtually?
It?
Not really, but I figure
What I heard from Sarah was not what I was expecting to hear what I heard from
you.
Oh,
we totally expected this remark.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking that the VR was going to be that big of a difference. Mm-hmm.
It's everything. It is everything.
It does seem like it's like a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it would be a good Resident Evil game without.
Are you going to play it without
VR? I still
VR?
Think
you
it would
it.
Be, but
he wants to see.
But yeah, but I played like a little bit outside of VR, and I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, I would still be into it, but not Mm-hmm. Not in VR. Yeah,
I've never seen you so intense, and I'm actually kind of scared.
You weren't here for the Destiny. Yeah. You weren't here for Destiny.
Yeah, you weren't for the like the podcast hijack of Destiny 2015.
Sarah, let's give your dissenting opinion.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's not dissenting as much as I really encourage people to not play it without VR.
Yes.
Because when I came into this game, I was talking to John, and I'm like, I'm waiting for that. You know when like 3D movies came out, and they were like punching you in the face, and you were like, "Whoa, man!"
Throwing forks at you.
Yeah, exactly. I was waiting for that gimmick, and I didn't notice it in the first half of the game. But then, as you get further in, you realize that they purposely put you in a lot of confined spaces.
Yeah,
like you're crawling through walls and under things, and it doesn't feel confining when you're not playing it in VR.
Right,
and you're like, "Why am I doing this? Waste of my movement speed. This has taken like 5 hours.
Always min-maxing.
And another thing is, for me, the scariest part of horror games is when you see the scary thing far away and then it comes towards you.
Yeah.
But in this game, the whole shtick was like that you didn't see it coming, and then all of a sudden they were like licking your eyeball. Like that's how it was. People were jumping out of cupboards, out of walls, out of windows, like bam, 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 in your
some
face.
There's some jump scares.
And
yeah.
To a point where, like, it wasn't scary for me anymore. Like, to a point where I'm like, oh, something's going to jump in my face and it's going to be scary.
So I feel like that's definitely sounds like something that in watching it in 2D, it's weird that we're calling 3D games 2D at the
moment. I know, but you have to just pick a word, so we just choose that.
But like
TV mode.
I could totally see that, though, like where you kind of figure it out, and your brain already works out where things are going to jump out at you and stuff like that, and it stops being scary. But then when you put yourself inside of that situation, it changes, I guess?
It's definitely different, you know. It's different in a, you know, that very overused word in game reviews these days, like visceral, but it is very different in a, like, every fiber of your being way, where, like...
That's so weird.
It is very strange to, like... I mean, my game clock... If I was playing in 2D, I bet my game clock would have been 5 hours faster. Because... It took a lot of fucking guts to walk up and open the door to a room. Just to fucking open a door. Like, it took time, man. It was like, you had to, like, slowly, like, be walking up and be like, okay, I heard something, I'm stopping. Okay, was there anything behind me? Okay, no. Okay, wait, was that in the room?
I want a mode where your character has a boombox and can, like, just, like, blare the radio and then run through the door. Like, that's what I need. I need that sort of, like energy to get the
A little bit
the
of alcohol.
Courage.
This might, I mean, it might, the one, another. Another weird thing that would never happen in 2D that I noticed in this game was, so this is not a spoiler. I'm an absolute spoiler fanatic, and I'm going to call this not a spoiler. You get a shotgun at some point in the game, okay? Yeah. You know that you get guns. You get a shotgun in the game. When I finally got a shotgun, I was like, or when I would get ammo for the shotgun or whatever, I was like, I could physically feel like a sense of more relief. It was like, okay, I have a shotgun now. Like you would in real life. It's like, okay, I have a shotgun. At least I know if one or two things come at me, I can fucking take care of it. Okay. Like I feel like a little safer and like a little bit better about myself. And it was not a conscious thing. It was just like, I just noticed it. It was like, oh wait, I got this thing. Okay. I feel a little bit safer now. I mean, I can't even describe it, but like rooms that would be butt ass boring, run through, never think about it again rooms, where in that game you're like fucking edging up against the wall, like, okay, is there going to be something around that corner or not? Okay, if there is, am I going to run or do? Okay, I'm just going to look. Okay, I'm going to look. Okay, I don't think I see anything. Okay, all right, I'm going to like step out. Oh, what was that noise? Like, that's it for like 20 hours. It's that moment in PT.
Yeah.
The entire game is that moment in PT. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I'm definitely going to play. I mean, I was planning to anyway, but you make me really want to go back and play more.
It is like... It's going to be hard to beat out for Game of the Year, even though it's right at the beginning of the year for me. Like, I got to have you all come and play in VR. Sarah, maybe it's ruined for you, but you can try it in VR anyway just to see. Maybe there's a remix mode or something where you won't know where the enemies are coming from.
DLC.
They're coming from the windows and the doors.
There is DLC, actually.
Chris Redfield punching.
And they do some,
zombies.
About three-quarters of the, without saying anything, about three-quarters of the way through the game, I think they do some interesting things, like game mechanic-wise, like setup-wise. This is really hard to explain without spoiling anything, but there are some new ideas in there. There are a lot of old ideas too, and there is some like recycled. You know, this happens in every Resident Evil, so does that. Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, but like, completely fucking worth buying a PS Pro and a PSVR. Like, I will say that right now. Like, if I never play another game with my PSVR, it is worth it. I mean, of course it was worth it for Res Infinite, but now it's even more.
How fascinating
worth it.
That the two, yeah, like, killer apps both start with the sound Res.
Yeah. That's right.
Res.
So, yeah. So, we'll do, like, a spoiler cast. We'll get more into it. But or you can follow me on Twitter if you want to see me, like, yelling at people to play that more. Because this really is, like, a shout from the rooftops type of game to me.
That's so
we are going to do that thing. So, I'll invite you all to it. But hopefully we'll have two going at once where we can have people. You will be alone in the room. It will be at night. You will be playing with headphones and no subtitles.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just so you know, you only get to play in the ideal conditions.
I want to, like, request a specific part of the game.
Okay,
my thing.
I can do that. I have saves throughout the whole game, so we can probably do that.
All right.
Who else wants to talk about games?
Gravity Rush 2?
Hell yeah.
Ooh, that's right. Yeah. We started kind of
We talked about Gravity Rush 1 last time.
So,
and I can officially say you don't have to play 1 to play 2.
Yeah.
Because basically they start 2 and they're like, hey, we're sorry, but so everything that happened in 1, we're just going to, like, you know, not ignore it, but we're not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
We're going to give you, like, a one sentence thing, like,
it's
a segue.
It's still canon, right? Though it doesn't contradict
the story.
It
continues from 1, though, right?
It doesn't really. You're in a whole other place, a whole different area. Everything you knew.
There's
it's
a couple,
like,
of characters
relearning.
That come.
Yeah, they keep two characters. Yeah.
Did you watch the hour-long anime OVA that bridges between the two?
No, I didn't. What the hell, no, JJ? Why do you give me stupid commercials?
He just made that up.
Oh.
I did, yeah.
No, there is an anime. What are you talking about?
But
you're kidding, right?
So
there really is an anime.
There is?
Yeah.
Does it bridge the two things?
I don't know if it bridges them, but there's definitely, like, an anime thing that came with the special edition in Japan. There was, like, a Blu-ray. And I think in the West...
I think it came on TV, actually. Now this is kind of, like...
I think in the West, maybe it's on YouTube or something. Obviously, people listening already know, so there's no point.
Yeah,
but, like, there's something.
We should check that out.
We'll Dorito it during the break.
At any rate,
Sarah, play the part of the average, like, Walmart player who doesn't know about the anime being on the internet or what the internet is.
I don't know what the internet is.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Go continue.
So basically it's like they're just like, "Oh, how did we get here? Oh, gravity storm," right? And I'm like, that didn't happen in the end of the last game. But I was after they showed me how expansive the new world is. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to forgive
artistic license.
So you finished the first game?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, nice.
I finished that in like 3 days.
Awesome.
But this game is like more than twice the size of the first one.
Wow.
And just map wise, the first one was all kind of like on a horizontal plane.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is going like vertical.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fly up into the sky to get to like other like neighborhoods. So like the
Hub
rich people.
Kind of thing,
yeah. Like rich people live in the sky. Middle class lives in the middle. And the poor people live on the shitty bottom where it's always dark.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. It's so much bigger. A lot more fluid, like flying through things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what, for me, like...
Or visual-wise?
Both,
yeah.
Okay.
For me, like, I played it... A couple
still
of weeks
in the
ago,
tutorial.
I'm still in the tutorial.
let me just throw that out there
but
right now.
There's a reason for that. The reason is the first time I played it, like within like 10 minutes, I got sick. I just could not do it.
Wow.
And I was like, when that happens, it's hard for me to go back. But I wanted to play because I love the demo. It was great, and I didn't get sick for the demo, so I was like, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. And the key was that I learned the controls better.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hard controls by any means, but like if you don't know what you're doing, it can be a little frustrating.
You have to use the whole controller.
Yeah, you have to use the whole controller. But once you, it takes like maybe 5-10 minutes to get used to it. And like I say get used to it, but it's more like just to become really efficient at it. Once you get efficient at it, the motion sickness goes away because you know you have intent and you're like,
right,
okay, I'm gonna go over there, and
right,
you go over and zoom over there, and like it's very much like I hate to make this comparison because
Dark Souls of what, JJ?
No, I was gonna say it's like Gun Valkyrie where the controls weren't awful.
Oh, okay.
Where like,
well, at least you're conceding that the controls were awful.
Well,
which
I'm
definitely
sure
a step up
for me. I liked them because it was like hard to learn, but it's like that where like, once you know the controls, you're just like, it's like very, you can be very fancy
very
and you're going all over the place and it's very stylish and cool.
How is the combat?
And it feels really good too.
Yeah, how is the combat compared to the
combat
first game?
Has improved immensely. In the first game, you only had like a few moves that worked, and some of them worked really well. Like, I only ever really used like the gravity kick, which is like the in-air kick. Because if you used your on-land kick, it was just one kick. But now, like, fucking Kat knows, like, fucking judo. Like, she has multiple different styled kicks that you can kind of chain together on the ground. The gravity kick, I would say, kind of got, like, a nerf. Mm. It doesn't feel nearly as powerful as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
My new favorite is, what is it called, where you create your own gravity field and you can throw objects?
Yeah, you can, like, basically pick up things off the ground and throw them
in
at
the first
enemies
game,
and stuff like that.
I hated using it because they kind of force you to use it sometimes because you couldn't aim for shit in the first game.
Sure. Well, the first game was originally a Vita game, and so it was designed to be, like, all held in your hands and kind of, like, targeted that way. And then they ported it to PS4, so I could see why that would have been different if you weren't playing on Vita, because you played on PS4, right? Yeah. So,
but they fixed it in this one, so it's a lot more enjoyable. Like, in the first game, it was just something that, you know, I got through.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is happening. But now it's more enjoyable.
Cool.
Yeah. Is it like the first game with the sort of weird, like, semi-French, like, you know, language thing going on, and the comic book cutscenes and all that? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, I like the two. And by the way, get the game in English. Because there is so much text. So much text.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? There's a lot of story to that.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Have you finished it already?
No, because it's just so big.
Okay. How is the story? How are the characters? How is the, like, graphics? Like, how is it grabbing you?
Well, just writing-wise, I really preferred the first one.
Okay.
Just, like, style-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, I mean, like, you don't play this game. First of all, you don't play this game for the story. Mm. Like, if you're playing it for story,
it sounds like it has a lot of it.
It has
a lot of it, but
it's a matter of, is it content that, because, like, the best part is just flying around.
Okay. Yeah.
So I will seek any excuse to fly somewhere and, like, complete some sort of, like, objective. And the story in this one is definitely better than the first one, because in the first one, you get the whole amnesia stuff.
Right.
And it's like, I have amnesia, I don't remember anything. But in this one, you know who you are, you have a purpose, so...
Wait, I thought you said that you liked the story in the first one.
I did.
She likes the writing in the first one.
Okay, all right, I see.
Thank you.
We worked on it. Yeah, that's right. You have to say that, but that's always nice to hear.
She didn't actually know that we had edited the English for the first one.
Yeah, it was a weird thing for us. We don't do many games like this, but we edited the whole game, but we didn't translate it. So someone else translated it, and then basically I, like, went to their office for like 3 days and they, like, edited the whole thing top to bottom.
Right. And this actually ties into her nickname, but I think the line that you noticed that made you think it might be us.
There is a line that you can find in most, if not all, 8-4 games.
Uh-oh.
And there is a line that I remember. I've been at A4 for a year, so, you know, I've read the scripts and I've seen it. And that line is, "Save my bacon."
Yeah, you really saved my bacon.
You really saved my bacon. And I remember this.
Literally, not the line that I thought it was
pretty
going
much,
to be.
Yeah. It pretty much sent me through, like, some sort of, like, rage mode. Because when I was working with Xenoblade with you guys, I saw the line and I was like, "What the hell is save your bacon?" I'm like, "Is this a mistake?" And then this happened. It was like, "You've never heard that expression? We use it all the time." And I'm like, "What the fuck?"
You're from the Midwest too. That's like a very Midwestern expression.
And then you know what I did? I got so upset because I found it in another one of our games that we're working on currently.
Oh,
really?
I looked that shit up, and it's like a phrase from the 17th century where people used to refer to their bodies as like bacon, as like pork. So your body would be referred to as bacon.
Yeah,
so to save your bacon is literally an older version of to save your skin or save my skin.
Sure, yeah.
Sure.
But it's in all the games.
But apparently, we put
it
in a lot of games.
Well, now it's going to be in every game.
Yeah, I know.
So
that's sure.
Thing. Congratulations.
It's like the 8-4 Wilhelm screen.
That's awesome.
Hence Wilhelm.
Now we have to go back through some scripts and fucking Control F. And
I thought she was going to say, like, we had like a My Body is Ready in there or something, because we were the first ones to use that.
I know. I thought it was.
The other one is, we're going to need a bigger boat, but I think that's only Crispin who tries to put it in every game he works on. And it never, like, actually gets in. But anyways, I'm loving, now that I got over the motion sickness part, I'm loving Gravity Rush.
Yeah. JJ, I'm just motion, like, sick by everything.
I do.
Warning.
Turning Japanese, JJ.
And well, no, this is from back when I was a kid, but I've gotten used to it. I love it. The music is amazing.
Yep, music's cool. Music's always
the
good.
Graphics
good
are like, absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm. The stuff that, yeah, that's all the stuff I've seen in that game just looks gorgeous. Literally, I mean, it looked gorgeous on the last
It's gorgeous last from, system. Like, the top. It's gorgeous when you're flying around, and it's gorgeous when you're just walking in town.
Yeah. And just in case, you know, you're like, gravity, whatever, I don't care. Just if you, this is the guy who made Silent Hill. This is the guy who made Siren. Like, he, I mean, I know those are both horror games, but, like, he makes really good games.
Right.
So, like, give it a shot.
And the thing about this and what I want to drive home is that it feels like a game from back when Japan had the capital to make kind of weird, out there, polished,
right,
but like different kind of games, like during like the PS2 era and like that.
Yep.
It feels like one of those games taken into the current, you know, current day, and it's something you don't really see very often. And I really think that you should, if you've got a PS4 and need like a cool Japanese game, definitely get it. It's great.
That's cool. Yeah, awesome. Speaking of those types of games, I guess you see these a lot recently, but Yakuza 0.
Ah, I really want to play that.
I love too. how the West is finally catching on.
I know. That game is so GIF ready, I have to say. Like, you know, just seeing
Did you see that one of like the dude in the background in his underwear?
Yes. Just like doing that dance. Just like humping and just like randomly in the background.
I think that was Patrick. Patrick
friend of the show, Patrick Klepek, I think, tweeted that.
It's great because nobody even acknowledges that.
Yeah,
and that guy's doing it.
He's just in the back of the hostess club, like just going at it, and it's like an underwear.
It's one of those things where, like, living in Japan, that's kind of like that doesn't really seem as something that's like very surprising.
Faze anybody? Yeah,
it's like, people of course that salary man dancing.
Not to see it.
In the background. Like, of course he's not.
And there was that other one with the chicken.
Yeah,
okay. Nugget. That was hilarious.
Nugget. Oh, you didn't see that
I didn't
one?
See it
anymore. Oh, okay. You should. Yeah, Google like Yakuza Zero chicken
nugget
GIF, and you will.
I mean, the long, GIF, you need a video form.
Yeah,
it's a video form.
The long and short of it is that you can have a chicken as your real estate manager.
Spoil it, Graham.
Seriously, what are you doing?
Spoiler!
I didn't. Well, that's the hook. Sega is saying that to get people to buy the game.
Yeah,
there's like.
What's that on their like their
who's your favorite
questionnaire?
Character? Yeah, yeah.
Like, what made you get this game or whatever? And it's like chicken as real estate manager.
Is this Nugget and chicken? The chicken's name is Nugget.
Okay.
Now we've destroyed it. We've like explained the Ziggy cartoon for like 5 minutes.
To reenact the
so
scene.
Then,
no, there's more to it.
Garfield walks up and says, "I hate Mondays."
I mean,
and
just
so
it's lasagna.
John
I love that.
Spits out his coffee.
Sarah, do you know who Ziggy or Garfield is?
No. Wait, it's not like Garfield the cartoon cat.
Oh, yeah, okay, you do know one of them at least. Oh. Yeah.
Wait, Ziggy?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like,
that's
you're using
right.
such
state
that Ziggy. That's when you really don't need to know.
Yeah, Ziggy is a deep cut at this point. Would Ziggy like die in the 70s?
I don't know.
Like a drug overdose or something? So talk about Yakuza 0 for a bit, Graham.
Well, actually, the one that's been playing it recently is Roy.
Yeah, I mean, I played a little
bit.
Oh,
you got it?
Yeah.
Talk about Yakuza 0, Roy.
Okay, well, first off, it takes place in like the bubble era of Japan. So
early
like,
90s.
That is super fascinating.
Late
80s. On its own.
And like, that I really like because, I don't know, I really like that aesthetic. Like, I like when there's just these ladies with big hair and, like, shoulder pads walking around.
Yeah.
That's like, I feel like that was when Japan should have just stopped. Everything got a little out of hand.
It wasn't in time.
I mean, it kind of did stop then. I mean, have
maybe.
You taken a look around?
Sarah, you're right.
there's a lot of, like, the bubble era charm that, like, I've heard about from older Japanese people where, like, at that time, everybody had so much money that in Yakuza 0 as well, like, you can see people at the corners of streets just waving like $100 bills in the air to get a taxi to stop, because that's what people would do. They would all compete for taxis by flashing money
hilarious.
In the air, and that's all there in the game. And the game is about money.
I remember
everything in the game is money.
A story from Hiroko once, she talked about like people getting these envelopes full of cash, like because they were getting paid for whatever job or whatever, and the envelope like stood on its own on its side.
Oh my gosh.
On its side, it was like that thick with each amount basically $100 bills. But anyway, so you played some of the other games?
I haven't actually. I played.
Oh, this is really your first.
I played a demo. There was a demo on PS2 for one of them, and I was like, nope, not for me. It was too.
Okay.
It was just too mashy, and like I don't think it did a good job of showing like the zaniness.
Sure,
it wasn't that zany back then.
Right,
like the zany,
a little zany.
The
but,
zaniness like kind of grew out of them adding more and more things to do in the game.
That's true.
The zaniness it started getting really weird with 2. I mean, in 2, like, you are in castles that are burning down and punching tigers in the face. Like, it gets there. It gets
Osaka. That's what you do when you go there. But yeah, like, and now like Yakuza 6 has like got a whole fishing game in it, and
well, they've all had fishing. It's had fishing for a long time. It's got like its own version of Dragon Force.
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
just it's all sorts it's of a game console.
Why don't you just talk about it, Grams?
Well, I'm
correcting everybody.
I know
all the time.
I mean, I'm glad that Roy's playing it now because I played it back when it came out in Japan in early 2015.
Oh, play that card.
I'm a hipster.
That was a lot funnier
when I played it.
No, it's great. I'm more. It's more. It's great that it came out, even though like it's been 2 years.
I'm so glad it came out because when I played it, it was underappreciated.
No, it was just Japanese.
Wait, I have a question. Nugget, was he called Karage in the Japanese?
I don't remember.
Damn it,
it was two years ago.
Graham, what but, the hell?
Yeah, what?
I thought you were an expert. Graham.
Come on.
But no, I kind of agree with him though. I mean, I'm glad that after all this time, they actually still decided to put it out because they didn't have to.
And they announced two games, right?
They're also putting out the remake of One, Kiwami, and then Six as well. And they announced all three of those.
It worries me diluting it a little bit. It's like, let's keep them spread out, guys. Like, it's great that they're all coming out in the West. That's awesome. But
this one's apparently doing really well. Like, Zero is selling out, apparently. So, you know, it's a good sign.
The meme potential is through the roof.
I mean, like we were saying, it's very social media friendly. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to play that game. I tried to buy it, and it was sold out. Like, I wanted to actually import it.
So, I feel like we haven't talked, though, at all about the game itself. Like, the mechanics or the story or what it is about it.
Well, you haven't played many other Yakuzas, but like, isn't generally speaking though, before he gets into it in detail, isn't it essentially just Yakuza in the 80s? Like, it's not like a different, it's still a beat 'em up through the streets of some city, right?
I think like, yes, but it follows some kind of bloodline that I don't fully understand, or I think the character whose life I'm witnessing now is like the father of future character or something.
No, that's him, in his younger
Okay, all right. Yeah, because they keep pointing out how like, oh, you're a noob when it comes to being a Yakuza. You gotta buy a better suit and shit. Like, people keep like saying that, so that makes sense now. Why? But
so how does it compare then, Graham, to other games in the series? Like, what are the big selling points? Is it just bigger and better? I mean, everything about it. Or?
A great thing about Yakuza in general is that it's iterative to a fault. So I mean, basically each game is better than the last one. So I mean, if you played any previous Yakuza game, it's going to be that. But more things. The combat always gets better because, I mean, back in the original Yakuza, every time you encounter an enemy, you would have to load, and you go to, like, a separate screen and fight the enemy.
Right, and now it just happens.
It's seamless.
In the, yeah.
So I think
it's seamless in 6, but in 0, it still happens.
In 0, there's like, a fight icon that shows up, and there is, like, a brief loading in that same world, but in 6 it's totally just like you're running around fighting people. But
it does seem, like, still a little mashy. Like, I almost feel like it's just hit buttons to win, kind of.
Even doesn't it feel good though? I feel like it feels good to punch people.
Don't heat actions feel good?
Heat actions do feel good.
Heat actions feel so good.
And now there are stances.
What are heat actions?
That's like, well, you have a gate. You have like some gauges. When they fill all the way up, you press a button and you do like an especially like bone shattering like cinematic attack.
You pick up a Soapland sign and shove their head in,
and like money flies everywhere. Because like Graham was saying, that's the point. Is like when you beat people up, you're beating money out of them, and then you take the money use that to like enhance your character.
Interesting.
Okay. And heat actions, I mean, is just they've been in the series since the beginning. Like, basically, if you hit people a lot and go long enough without getting hit, you totally power up. And then, you know, it's environmental. So if you're near, like, a wall and you grab a dude, you can just smash his face into it. Mm. If you have a baseball bat, you hit him with it. If you pick up a needle somewhere, you just shove it in their leg. And all sorts of nasty stuff like that.
Just like a lot of needles just lying around?
It's
Shinjuku in the 80s.
Cool. What about music? Is there, like, any 80s music in it or anything like that? Or
that would be awesome.
Is there karaoke?
Oh, I went into a Don Quixote. And they were playing the Don Quixote song.
Yes!
And I was like, holy shit.
Total awesome license.
Can I just say something, by the way? Like, how awesome is it? Remember when this podcast, we had to talk about Western games because there was nothing to talk about in Japan? We just talked about all awesome shit in Japan.
Yeah.
Like, Are you happy, Lard?
Strong. Are you happy? Are you fucking happy?
One thing that's weird about Yakuza, though, like, I must imagine for people who can't read Japanese, like, I'm walking through these streets and I can see, like, okay, I know what that place is. That's kind of like, that's like a place that only it's only for adults. I know that, but other people they don't really know.
So they
don't
localize the signs or anything.
No, they must not realize like, okay, this is a bad area.
I really want to play this.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm sure you're getting a lot more out of it. Just having.
I mean, for people who are like worried because Yakuza is a long series at this point, they've probably heard like, you know, there have been 5, and now here's 0 and 1 again, and then 6.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the best place to jump in because it is a prequel.
So I noticed
before anything else.
I noticed Yakuza.
Yakuza.
I say Yakuza.
But, I mean, if you say it in English, we're speaking English, you just say Yakuza, because that's how we pronounce it in English.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought people called it Yakuza.
No, I say Yakuza. Everywhere. But I mean, people we live here.
Yakuza?
I don't know.
So.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Interesting.
Like people who don't, you know.
The Japanese name is more or less like Way of the Dragon.
It's
super.
But Mark's just talking about pronunciation.
Right? I know. Right. I just find the name of the game really funny.
Just like Westerners sometimes call Hiroko Hiroko, or whatever.
Right. Wait, what is it?
It was like Grand Theft Auto was named like Car Stealer Man.
Oh, you mean in China?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what's Smash Brothers called here, though? It's a
Daidanto.
Big battle Smash Brothers. Right, right. All right, anyway, why don't we... We have a couple more games we could talk about, but I think we should go ahead, take a quick break, and come back with some news, because there actually is some interesting news from our friends at Nintendo, especially, people want to hear about. So stick around. And we're back with the JJ.
News.
The news, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That's what I said.
Starting off with Nintendo news, there was a big interview with the Nikkei here in Japan with the Nintendo president, Kimishima-san. And like a lot of tidbits were dropped. There was also an investor meeting recently. Maybe some of these are out of there. And all it's 1 month from now, people.
Yeah.
1 month. Switch coming.
Kind of crazy. And how many do you pre-order?
Bombs dropping everywhere. How many? I have 2-3 pre-ordered right now.
It was just 2 the last time we talked.
Yeah, I know.
Wait,
but
why 3?
On purpose.
I got 1.
So 3 because I didn't know if I was going to need to give one to someone else. And then... I'm not sure why the third one, Roy.
Huh.
I'm honestly not sure.
I got one from the U.S.
My name is Mark McDonald's, and I have a problem.
Mario 64, like, tweeted it out. You know it's not going to be available for long. I was like, I woke up like 5 minutes later, and my, you know, Amazon.
You guys are part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we're like Robin Hood.
We're
like, no, you're not.
People who need them.
You're like taking from the poor to give to the poor.
Hey, the poor should learn how to get on Amazon faster, okay?
That Switch is going to end up in some happy owner's hands one way or the other. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
Like, worst comes to worst, I will cancel it. It will get bought. It'll get bought. only 1 month coming out, so, you know, a lot of news is happening. This, a lot of Nintendo news all over the place, so let's see. First of all, Kimishima said that this is all from a friend of the show, Dr. Serkan Toto. This is like he just translated parts of the interview on his Twitter account. Other parts of this come from some stories on Polygon. Thank you to our friends at Polygon and from Giant Bomb all over the place. Anyway, Kimishima says that... One, he expects the Switch to sell, you know, long term, not in the first month or whatever, but expect it to sell.
No one can get it in the first month.
Yeah.
Well, like as well as the Wii, which no one could get the Wii for the first 2 years. So,
are we sure he didn't say Wii U?
I don't think that's not something you want.
You like?
I guess that's true.
That's
but,
terrible. Yeah,
dude. No.
Why would anyone? I mean, I guess you want people to feel like they're really positive about it. But
you
like, come on.
Yeah, you gotta
come on. Nothing is ever going to sell.
Go in front of your investors and be like, our new system is going to sell exactly like the worst
ever.
At least as good as the last one
is going to sell. Like,
at least as good as the Virtual Boy.
Don't you think it's kind of weird to like? I mean,
I think it's like, but you know, thinking about a company, right? They have to set bars and be like, well, we have to. Surpass
but that's like
previous accomplishments.
That's like the stratosphere.
To John's John's point, that is saying this is going to be our this is
the
going
best
to
selling thing ever.
No, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen personally.
Well, yeah,
but I understand why they have to say it.
Well, but then you create expectations, and sole stockholders care about these expectations, right? Like anyway. you know, it's they're just that fucking confident. They are buying a Super Bowl ad, which Nintendo has never done before, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it? By the way, isn't it weird that they showed the ad before the Super Bowl? Don't you?
They
like,
do that now.
They mm-hmm. places yeah. do that now because it's like you're gonna get it during the Super Bowl anyway. So like, why not get the hype beforehand?
I guess so.
So why watch the Super Bowl?
I mean really? Most Roy, people don't anymore.
Roy, that's Roy, a good Roy, fucking Roy, question.
Lady Gaga, obviously. I mean,
Nintendo plans to introduce yearly and monthly paid plans for the online service. Again, price range is in the 2,000 to 3,000 yen per year range. Yeah. Now that is translated. If you go by the exchange rate strictly, that's like $17.70 to like 26.50 range, but. As
that's
we saw,
not bad.
But as we saw from the Switch pricing, that's probably more realistically probably in the $20 to $30 price
sure,
range. Sure,
but even $30 for a year is not
pretty
bad.
Good.
I mean, PlayStation Plus is
it's basically kind of half that. Yeah, I mean, you end up getting it for cheaper than that, but like yeah. it seems like in the ballpark of half. So
it seems totally reasonable to me. Like if it was like
if you're getting what you're getting, if you're getting, I guess, half of what you're getting from those other services, mm-hmm. but. Again, when you start to charge for a service, you create the expectations in terms of free games, in terms of online functionality that works, which, by the way, I realized mm-hmm. the disconnect on last podcast
yes.
between us
yeah, sure.
on PlayStation 4 chat
yeah.
is that I realized I'm the only one who uses PlayStation 4 chat.
Yep.
Because I'm the only one who plays multiplayer game on PlayStation 4 where you'd want to chat, right? Like... You're not playing.
I didn't listen to this part of the podcast, but I saw everybody like
yeah.
yelling
you're not playing
about
like
it.
Overwatch and like oh, I really want to talk to everybody.
No,
you're not playing it with friends, right?
Nope.
I'm the only one who uses fucking PlayStation.
I used it for Overwatch, but
yeah.
that was it.
So yeah, just take
yeah.
my word. For
one
it.
One thing I thought of
it's good.
One thing I thought of as we were as I was listening to all the wonderful reading
feedback.
The wonderful things that people were saying on Gab,
the wonderful feedback,
the wonderful feedback that I was really excited about, and
we really appreciate.
Yeah,
always.
And just like to kind of like
defend yourself,
defend myself a little. Well, not defend myself, but like one possible
no, you already said it.
Good reason to have it on an app is like.
Oh,
You're no longer tethered to the system for, like, say you want to group with your friends.
Right.
And you're not at home yet. You don't have your Switch or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
You get on their phone,
yeah.
group it
JJ.
Up. You can voice chat on your way home. You could do all that. Get home, play the game, and you'll all be in the same group still.
Okay, that's true, yeah.
yeah.
But you could do that. You could have the app and
true.
Have it on the screen.
And yeah, you're right. You could still
yeah.
do all that
right.
with the Switch if you've got it, but you're
right.
not specifically
could
tethered
there,
to it.
Could there be something about it that would make it... Because like... Up until now, I'm like, well, I can already Skype, so why do mm-hmm. I need this? But could there
Thank
be something
God.
About it that's?
No,
what
I
do you
think
mean,
that's.
Think of, no. I'm, what I'm saying is, I don't need an app on my phone because mm-hmm. if that's the case, I can just use stuff that already. I can call somebody on the phone. Like,
well,
I can
so
just
yeah, the thing is,
is there something? Well, what I was getting to is there something that we're missing that could actually make this interesting or useful? Like, they obviously haven't laid out all
well,
the details
I mean,
yet.
Splatoon Twitter
Splatoon.
Account, Japanese Splatoon Twitter account, actually went into a little detail in that. The game lobbies and stuff like that are directly tied to the game.
Right.
So it's not
well,
just like
so.
Opening up a Skype chat with the people on your friends list.
Well, that, yeah, I guess that part
yeah.
makes sense.
So the thing is, you want this all integrated, right? You want to just be able to, you want friend notifications to pop up on your screen that you're looking at already while you're playing the game. Or if you don't, you can turn that off. Like, it makes sense to have on the nice big screen ahead of you, and you can keep your phone. If you really want to, you can call people separately on Skype or do whatever the fuck you want on your phone. But, like, having it only be a app separately is just is
yeah.
bad, but let's keep talking because there's a lot
sure.
more news. I didn't mean to segue into I told you so's or did I? Kimishima calls the last fiscal year a quote bottom year for Nintendo, and you know what that means.
Yeah, on the receiving end,
a bottom year. Yeah,
it was very much a bottom year for Nintendo. And he says the financial performance will improve from this year on. He reiterated that 3DS and Switch businesses will run in parallel. So I'm going to say straight out, apparently I was wrong. All the stuff that Nintendo is saying seems to point to the idea that, you know, obviously I was not thinking 3DS would not continue, but that presumably, if this is really their attitude, presumably someday there would be a successor system for the 3DS, and they would continue, which I don't think is a good idea at all. If Nintendo can actually produce enough first-party software for both of them, unlike they've been able to do ever, then great, more power to them. But like, what I thought was one of the great things about the Switch was that it would actually be a little bit of a strategic retreat. They would kind of surrender purely mobile gaming to the mobile, like, smartphone market.
Yeah.
And then they would have twice as many or three times or however many teams they had working on all games, all working on the same one system. Nintendo could put out an awesome first-party title at least once a month, maybe two.
I think this is just like the third pillar situation where they're not ready to give up the 3DS because they can't say like, oh yeah, the 3DS is dead.
Yeah.
Like, we're supporting
it. Throw it away.
We're doing it.
80 million of them.
All the kids that just bought their 2DSs and whatever, there's still games coming out for it. But you know in time that I think it will probably just fade away.
And maybe it is. They did kind of say that, you know, the idea now is that the 3DS is kind of the introductory system to games, i.e. kind of like for kids.
Yep. A gateway drug.
Yep. There you go. They also said that a little check-in on the quality of life. I'm so glad somebody
asked
this.
I was going to bring that up when you said making the stockholders happy.
I don't know. Yeah, well, he says they will decide what to do about the announced plans around mid-2017.
I've been like asking about that for a year.
Yep.
I was thinking about that the other day. I don't know why. Not sleeping well. To me, it's really sad to think about, but like, you know, Iwata's condition that he was in, it kind of makes sense that they were like thinking about health things at the time when he was, you know, going through his stuff. And like, maybe
now I feel bad about joking about it. Yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
Think about it. Like, if you were him and you're the president and you're in that situation, you're thinking about how are we going to improve people's lives with this stuff. I mean, and that's a smart, good thing to think about. But like, that also explains why it was a priority and then suddenly stopped being a priority. You know, it's like because, you know, it's like, well, maybe that's harder to make business sense out of. Why are you laughing?
You're like Johnny Downer.
I'm not trying to be a downer. I think.
I mean, you're totally right.
I think that's probably what happened. And like, you know, because how do you make?
It
makes sense.
Kind of plans have to gestate for a long time, and they had to buy that company a long time beforehand.
Did kind of come out of nowhere and then like disappear.
Well, sickness kind of came out of nowhere, but also it was very much an Iwata thing. And when Iwata went away, I think that's why it's kind of.
Just like your dog when you were younger.
I think it's like a turtle.
To the farm in the sky.
Well, something else that Nintendo could be working on, it sounds like now, is VR. That patent that surfaced a while away. It sounds like there was something to it. So it's a possibility, quote, in one form or another, he says, Kimishima still, if we are able to resolve the issues with playing, in VR, i.e. in VR, comfortably for long hours.
Hey, Gear VR is still amazing. Apart from the fact that the tech isn't there, like having a self-contained VR unit that doesn't require anything else, I think is fantastic. So like, it would be cool if they could.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if you're going to be able to make something with that hardware that's going to refresh fast enough, that's going to look good and be comfortable on your head.
Yeah, that
thing's
not going to make people sick. That thing's heavy and it's big and it's
But it's not heavy, is it?
Compared to like what you would need for like a comfortable VR headset,
yeah, I haven't held it yet, so I'm be very curious. But like, man, I would love to see Nintendo do some stuff,
right?
And I mean, eventually, I'm sure some kind of foray into that will happen. Since VR is the future, as Resident Evil,
I want the Resident Evil 7 of like Yoshi's Woolly World, where you just walk in and everything's really nice.
I want Metroid.
I was there, man. I could feel the yarn in my feet.
I just, like, me and
Hoji. We could do, like, Nintendogs VR, and then you would never need a real dog.
Oh, man, Metroid, Sarah, you're talking my language.
Oh, man.
Metroid VR is so good.
That, oh, goddamn.
You can do that.
I want that.
You can do that now.
Totally do that now. 100 games are in development for the Switch.
100 games.
Somebody counted. That might not sound like too terribly many, but somebody counted the total that came out for Wii U, like disc games out for Wii U. It's not here, but I think it was like 160.
I saw that.
I mean, I kind of believe it.
Yeah.
So you could actually, that is a very collectible system now.
Yeah.
For you gatherers out there,
there's a story. They just discontinued the last two models of the Wii U here in Japan.
I saw that. Yeah.
The Splatoon one, and then there's like a 32 gig deluxe version.
Yeah. That system, by the way. as somebody who may or may not be currently selling their Wii U's, multiple Wii U's, actually has kept its value.
Yeah.
Like, Nintendo systems do, but, like, that system especially, and I think it's interesting, like, by virtue of it being not that popular and not having many price drops, it's actually really kept its value. And also, the we've talked about this before, but the controller not being sold separately ever, really anywhere.
Yeah.
In Japan it is, but...
No, not
yes.
You can maybe buy it direct from Nintendo.
Yeah, that's it. You can buy it from, but you can buy it from their website.
They did yep. allow that
only in Japan
because they announced the price and everything. But I never knew anybody who had done that. But anyway, so not ever having sold it in stores means that basically you have to buy. There's going to be way less of them out there for like collectors and people who want to preserve.
That makes me feel good because I'm going to have to sell it along with some other stuff when I move. And
Mario Maker was the thing where I was like, oh, even if they bring this to future systems, like, is it going to be good? But then again, when I saw the Switch, I'm like, well, I mean, there's a way.
Oh, you know, they'll make a Mario Maker on Switch eventually. Of course.
Right. But it's like the...
But until they port Xenoblade Chronicles X, you really should never ever get rid of your Wii.
That's a very good point.
Please, that's a year point. Of my life. Come on, think about it here.
I'm going to say hold on to Pikmin 3. I think probably like of the Nintendo library, that might be the one that like shoots up in price if you're looking to capitalize on gatherers.
I could see that. Mario Kart Pikmin was 3. Good. I could see that.
One game that's not going to be coming out on Switch, apparently, is Project Giant Robot. Surprise, surprise. It was shown only once at E3 2014. Nobody really ever talked or cared about it. Ever.
It was like old man Miyamoto showing all the things he'd been working on and everybody just being like, okay.
It was kind of like, this is what we have for E3 this year. Is there anything, guys? Like, what about that thing Johnson or Tanaka that you've been working on?
It's like a demo of a toy robot.
I think the other one ended up being like the pack-in with Star Fox Zero.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Camera game.
Less said about
that. That game was terrible. I like how Johnson localizes to Tanaka.
That's right. I think that's pretty good.
It's pretty accurate.
Sarah, though, don't worry. They're still going to have 2 million units out worldwide.
I'm
going to
go out the first day that it comes out.
So they say that they stopped pre-orders, but they're shifting all the other stock that they got to day one purchases. Yep. So you will be able to walk in first day.
You can buy one in Japan on day one, I'm sure, if you go in the morning. Like,
you go to where my new house is, you fucking can walk into Toys R Us.
It's not worth it. So far away.
It really is.
The other Switch news, poor Nintendo Portugal.
Yeah.
Those guys cannot catch a break.
That was rough.
They uploaded their Super Bowl, their version of the Super Bowl ad, which I guess they add in the footage later because they can paste it onto the screen, and they just didn't do that. And so people got a picture of the dev kit menu, apparently, of the Nintendo Switch and saw things... I mean, kind of mild interest. Dev kits seem to have 64 gigabytes of storage, twice as large as the commercial version. There's like some brightness settings, a battery percentage indicator.
UI seems
seen
nice.
Before. The UI for a dev kit, sure. Doesn't look like anything, unlike like PS4 dev kits that kind of ape the actual UI. It doesn't look like anything that you would see in an actual like retail UI, but... So we talked about this a little bit, but Nintendo pledged to keep making games for the 3DS. The 2DS and 3DS are going to exist side by side with the Switch, blah, blah, blah. Both their game systems are going to be played outside the home, but Nintendo 3DS has unique characteristics that differ those from the Switch, blah, blah, blah. Play price points. Play experiences and price points are different. They don't see them being in direct competition.
I don't see Fire Emblem Echoes on Switch. I'm just saying.
I think a lot of it will depend on how the Switch performs. Because like with that third pillar thing, like if the Switch doesn't do what they want it to do, the 3DS is a huge user base. I think they're definitely going to keep on
and
with that.
It's not portable, too, the sense that 3DS is. Don't tell me it's a handheld because it's not a handheld.
Pokemon sales, like speaking of how strong 3DS is doing, Pokemon sales are
14 million.
Crazy. It's almost basically matched... Sun and Moon almost matched the last game like in its entirety up until now in just the first little bit that it's been out now, so like
that's thanks to Pokemon Go
effect. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm sure no small part
really.
I think they also mentioned that Pokemon X and Y shipped like another 1.5 million.
It did. They've sold a bunch more. They sold more in the same period this year than they had sold in the previous year in that 6 month period or whatever, which is nuts.
Wow,
the power of the Go. Animal Crossing, though, Sarah, mobile.
Yes.
Title delayed again.
Oh.
Till sometime after March, after this fiscal year.
What a shame.
They also announced earnings for, well, not earnings, but you can basically put together the earnings for Super Mario Run. 78 million downloads, 5% bought it for $10. That leaves, if Apple takes 30%, as JJ.
I still play that.
Prognosticated.
Every day.
$27 million. Dollars is not bad. Really? You're playing the new like update, the gold Goombas and whatever?
Yep, but I was playing it anyway, but yeah, I'm playing that too.
How is the update? Is
there the update's cool. Exciting? I mean, I guess you know, some levels have gold Goombas in them, and if you kill them, they add to like a stamp card, and then when you fill the stamp card, you get items that you can put in your you know, your plaza, wherever.
You can play in Korean
I'm
now?
I'm cool. still doing the... Yeah, playing in Korean now. I'm still playing...
Korea!
Still basically doing the coins. I'm on the second level of coins, I guess the purple ones, and I almost have them all, so I like it. It's God really damn. Well done. It's a good game. It's like it's good stress relief. Like every now and then, I'm like tired out from work or whatever. I'm on the train and I'm just like, oh, let me just do a level or two of Mario Run. Feels good.
Good Evo 2017 lineup announced: Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, Injustice 2, Tekken 7. I already said it Tekken, says and more, Tekken, but I don't see more.
Do people really play Tekken anymore?
Smash Brothers Melee, Smash Brothers Wii U.
Is it like it's not just Blast Korea? Blue.
Japan Sorry. Too.
Okay.
King of Fighters 14. And then a mystery game based on donations that go to charity, and we have those tournaments. It's kind of neck and neck: Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Pokken tournament.
Pokken,
this is so
rare,
man. Pokemon fans.
I told
are
you
huge.
Guys. I told you Pokken.
You did.
I told
you said, and I, you know what? I didn't believe you. I said no.
Fighting game guy. This is so rigged. I hate this.
You just hate it, JJ, because Mortal Kombat. That XL? There's a Mortal Kombat XL?
It's like it's nothing but fat guys.
$135 from seven donors. The other ones are like
sizes.
Right. In 15,000.
But the thing is that so they had all these games that you know that are pretty much a staple at fighting game tournaments, and then there was the last game that was supposed to be like a wild card with a game that you wouldn't really see normally.
Yeah.
But they fucking put Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 and Pokken
really
in there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, no. Nidhogg, Windjammers, they're never going to fucking stand a chance.
It'd be cool to have a one that's like, would otherwise never make it there.
I
want to
see Windjammers.
Yeah. All right,
make that happen, right. People.
Well, Marvel, you got 10 grand? You can donate up to 10 grand.
Good for Marvel, though. They're poverty. They're like, historically, they're the poverty scene. So it's good that they're coming out in droves for this.
All I guess.
Good on them.
Pour one out for Namco's founder and father of Pac-Man, friend of the show, Masaya Nakamura.
Not father of
I want to fix that because the AP, I don't know what they were talking about. How is he the father of Pac-Man? He's the father of Pac-Man in the sense that he like pushed the button to approve the budget or whatever.
Well, yeah. No,
I don't mean this as a disrespect to him.
Pac-Man.
But no one ever called him the father of Pacman either. Like everyone
Dude, we
knows.
We gotta sell newspapers, okay?
Everyone knows.
Toru Iwatani is the father of Pac-Man. He was in the movie with Adam Sandler.
That's what you use. So like, come on. Yeah. But
he's a super cool guy, by the way.
This guy deserves a little bit of attention and respect. He's not as well known outside Japan as he should be, but like Nakamura is like, he's a dude that, first of all, many people in the industry who like made the games that we all grew up loving, like on Nintendo and stuff in the 80s, they basically looked up to him.
Yeah.
He was like the guy who like set the arcade scene in the 80s. He's the guy responsible for like Namco in its prime. Almost Nintendo level, I think.
Yeah,
they were like
great.
One of the best companies ever before they merged with Bandai and
so
like went down the drain.
People will laugh now, but when the PlayStation 1 came out, I distinctly remember this would have been 1996. I remember having a serious discussion, which was like, why
is this to respect the deceased that you're getting dressed up right now?
I'm putting my jacket back on for people who can't watch this podcast, which is all of you. But I distinctly remember having a serious talk with someone, the kind of serious talk you can only have in college, which is that. Why doesn't Namco has the biggest fighting game with Tekken? They have the biggest racing game, which actually meant something at the time with Ridge Racer, and they had fucking like the shooting game with Time Crisis.
They had Ace Combat
firing on all cylinders, man. They had Ace Combat. Like it was like, why don't they just make their
own
system?
Console.
Like they have a way better first party than PlayStation could ever have. PlayStation would not have sold. Without Namco, they did the retro thing way before other people were doing it with the Namco generation.
Didn't they like try and make a console at one point? Am I dreaming that, or was that Konami? Or was it? I know Bandai made WonderSwan.
I think Namco had the no. I don't think so. But Namco's arcade hardware was PlayStation based.
The System
11.
System 11.
So you know,
and 22.
I mean, that's true. What Mark just said. Like Namco was actually big part or responsible for why PlayStation was so big when it first came out.
To get back to this, the guy who died, Masaya Nakamura. Apparently, I didn't know this, but the N in Namco is Nakamura. Nakamura Amusement Machine Manufacturing Company.
That's what it stands for.
I didn't know that.
So, lightning round. Final Fantasy VII Remake. They showed a new image.
Never gonna happen.
It'll happen. Fucking Final Fantasy 2026 ended up happening. Yeah. It'll happen.
Shibuya Station will be done.
That's true.
Shibuya Station done before Final Fantasy.
That's true. Yeah. Maybe if they said they're going to make it episodic, maybe they're going to put out one like every four years. So
that's so sad.
Sarah Clump Penguin set to close Breaking Millennial Hearts World.
Why is this a me thing? I only play Neopets.
Yeah, I know. Only she's going to understand
Club Penguin.
I never played Club Penguin. I only played Neopets.
Sarah, but only you even understand what the fuck Club Penguin is.
What the hell is Club Penguin?
I thought it was a Club Winnipeg. I was like, what are you saying?
That's why I saw Sarah pour one out. We'll be sad about Nakamura. You can
be sad about Club Penguin.
Yes. BioWare's next series launching by March 2018. That's soon.
It's apparently an action game, not an RPG.
Action adventure, not an RPG.
I feel like BioWare, they like fell off the face of the earth.
The doctors left.
Are they even really relevant anymore?
Dude, Mass Effect people are still super pumped on Mass
Effect. Y'all were fucking talking about Splatoon 2 and not knowing if it was a sequel. Like, I see the new Mass Effect and I'm like, is that like a remake?
No, come on. Come on. All right, we're moving on.
Oh, you're making fun of the way I say Splatoon. Come on.
Moving on. I think he's making fun of the y'all.
Come on.
So, Oculus lawsuit ended. They're going to pay $500 million.
It's over.
We can't delve into that yet.
That happened really quick.
Getting $500 million. Yeah, they said the decision was going to be announced soon. I don't know how they...
Didn't they say they could take it off the market or something?
They're like pushing to do that, at least temporarily. ZeniMax is trying to.
Yeah, they're still... And it's in appeals. And
What
eventually happens is not 100% known, but this is a... They were asking for $2 billion and they
got $4 billion, I think, including damages.
Well, then they were saying like you should give us $6 billion because of like punitive damages. excuse me. Last but certainly not least, back in Final Fantasy news, JJ, something that will come out is Final Fantasy Cup Noodle.
This is where Square's priorities lie.
Nishin, the maker of Cup Noodle Ramen, is doing something for Final Fantasy's 30th anniversary, a special release of its noodles featuring bosses for the main Final Fantasy franchise, producing a very limited, oversized Final Fantasy-inspired fork. They're only making 30 of these.
You can't even use it. Look at the 30? Pictures.
They're only
Ultima?
Making...
It looks like the arm of like a toddler.
30.
With a hilt attached to it.
Or looks you like use that to open your $10,000 bottle of wine?
Yeah,
or maybe.
The arm of a toddler grasping an orange, JJ. If you get that joke, then congratulations. Okay. So there are 15. They each have a boss, one from each game, from Final Fantasy 1 through 15. You buy the set for $53.
What? I could buy the set?
This is made for gatherers like you, John. You will want this.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, look real at that bad. Set. They each have one boss on
does
them.
Does it come in that box? Like,
it
does
comes
it come in like
box.
A display case?
Yes. A 20,
but you are paying $50 for like 20 cents of ramen.
I mean, you're not going to eat that ramen, right? Like, you paid so much money for it.
But if you open it, you do get a chance to win the special fork.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
Huh. I'm gonna buy at least the Sephiroth.
Yeah, you know? Go for it.
Well, that about does it. I actually have to go, but JJ, why don't
you stick around
tell
for 5 minutes?
Nice people, I have to fucking catch a bus.
Talk about the nicknames, man. You didn't talk about the nicknames. Yeah. 5 minutes.
No,
5 minutes.
I can't. No, I can't tell a bus
okay.
5 minutes.
We know what
later.
Sarah's was.
Take your time explaining it. I will see you in 2 weeks. Sorry, I have to go early. Okay. Somebody think of a thing to take somebody out. And
Grant, we also didn't get to hear about the latest McDonald's Gente burgers.
Wait, we have a theory.
Perfect
Mark,
timing.
Do you hate McDonald's because your name is also McDonald's?
Okay, no, that was my theory.
I know, I said we have a theory.
Well,
me being you.
Sarah
is the collective voice of Sarah.
Yeah.
Nobody hates McDonald's.
He said nobody
you,
hates McDonald's.
But you do.
People hate people who love McDonald's.
People who hate me.
You hate me?
That's
that was deep. That was deep. Wow.
Mark hates me.
Wow.
I love you, Graham.
And on that note, bye, Mark. Okay, so, McDonald's, the results of the election came in. Double cheeseburger, a rigged election.
No, why was it rigged?
Because every single McDonald's store had on their registers what burger they were pushing for. And, like, almost, I think everyone that I've seen, and I go to a lot of McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
All had the double cheeseburger.
Not as much as
you
me.
Know why? Because the double cheeseburger already costs like the price of like three burgers. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You buy two cheeseburgers for cheaper than a double cheeseburger.
Yes. You can't buy a singular cheeseburger. Like, I can't buy a one patty cheeseburger in this country anymore.
You can.
You can.
Can
I
you?
Do, I, yeah, I always.
It's like a hidden. Like well, you can't.
It's hidden.
But the three times a year that I go to
McDonald's.
It's
not on the menu.
It's like ask for it. There's no like hamburger set either. But
JJ, we go to McDonald's together all the time.
I know.
Why haven't you told that. Me?
I didn't know you wanted one.
I told you that today.
What?
Roy said you shouldn't do that. You're gonna get sick.
You shouldn't do that, man.
Sometimes you just want to. It's real.
She said all the time. All the time is in sometimes you want a burger.
It's real beef. It's not fake or anything. Anyways, so there was a rigged election.
No.
Because double cheeseburger won. I don't care. Graham, don't give me that like typical. Don't give me the Graham. I'm gonna take the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just
you know it was rigged.
I'm just saying every like we have a couple McDonald's here in Shibuya.
A couple, yeah.
Like the one in Sentaga, like one of the busiest thoroughfares for pedestrians in Tokyo.
In the world.
Bobipo, the barbecue pork burger, was the number one burger there.
It was the number one burger in terms of votes, but they were pushing for.
Yeah, but I just all I want to say is that people in Shibuya know how to have a good time.
Yeah,
the barbecue pork. Anyway, so yeah, the double cheeseburger got first place.
Yes,
and the teriyaki chicken got second.
And that means that because Graham explained this to me today, because the double cheeseburger got first place,
that's right.
They decided to make it triple cheeseburger. It's like the winners get a sort of deluxe version of whatever.
And I had one today, and it's delicious.
It is.
You said there was too much meat on it.
It didn't know. It didn't.
Yes, it did. I sat across from you, and you said there was too much meat.
That's my thing. Is like
it ended like at the end, like the spices. I guess they like because of the extra meat. There's more spice, and the more spice tastes good.
I can't do double anything or triple anything at McDonald's because I think like the meat is only acceptable in small doses, and you need enough bread to sort of drown out the meat
for it to be palatable.
100%
beef
and cheese.
Debatable.
You keep repeating what they said on that like advertisement that they said on TV.
Hey, they can't say that and not have it be true.
Everything on TV is true. I know, JJ.
I was working pretty late yesterday, so I went and I got some and I had it here at the office.
Yeah.
Justin, tell me, was that not a satisfying burger?
It was enough burger like that I didn't need to finish my fries.
Wow.
How nice. Curly fries.
And that's for the same price as before. Yeah. That's what the deluxe
version
is. So until the end of next week, if you're around, have a triple cheeseburger or double teriyaki chicken.
Yeah. No, just a regular teriyaki.
No, it's double because number one and two both got deluxe versions.
Oh, you said teriyaki chicken.
All right.
Before we lose everyone.
Anyways, Roy, this isn't totally interesting to the people who listen, but we just want to.
That's a good preface there. Thank you, JJ.
Roy is the betrayal because every Wednesday we have family dinners,
where we decide
family
lunches. Where we talk to each other to decide podcast nicknames.
Yes. Well, and also just,
to catch up.
Well, that too. But I mean,
we love each other. We're family.
The bond,
I originally suggested it for the podcast nicknames because we were kind of disappointing Mark a little bit.
Yeah, but then and Roy was like, I gotta go. He's taking boxing, and you went you ditched us.
So he Tuesday, tried to sneak out.
Tuesday, I overslept, so I couldn't go Tuesday, and I try to go twice a week. So I wanted to go Wednesday.
So you have to go 2 days in a row.
Yeah,
right.
So I tried to.
So we're gonna go tomorrow. Tomorrow's the new family lunch.
Right.
Because of Roy.
Sorry, guys. Although I kind of want to go to the gym tomorrow.
Oh, my God!
I plan my week around it, too. Like, I go to the gym. I used to go 5 days a week. Now I go four because we decided Wednesday is family day.
Yeah.
Right, so I'm sitting there at my desk, and Roy's walking out with
a bag of money. We'll reset it next
week.
That inside look at
and,
what goes
right,
on.
Right. And so I guess, and John,
yeah,
yours
what was
is
my
in,
name?
To take it to the limit because you needed a new limit on your credit card to buy items in Fire Emblem.
At least that's what we anticipated.
That's
was
what
it
we
the timing of that phone call was a little too close to when you downloaded Fire Emblem.
No, it wasn't that. Actually, it was so my Suica card. So this is an interesting thing. Up until now, I've only realized the benefits of having your train card be part of your phone. The non-benefit is that I can only charge it with my credit card, and my credit card stopped working like yesterday because like I bought like a flight last month for like work, and then I just bought another flight for GDC. Like I've been spending a lot of money on flights, and so I broke my limit, and I couldn't get on the train. I couldn't charge my Suica, so I had to like go buy a ticket like a goddamn
pleb.
Animal.
Like
I actually used tickets today and stuff, so I had to call them to do that. It had nothing to do with Fire Emblem, although that is a very good point. I'm
it's
glad
very,
that my
very
card will
eerie
be coming
timing.
Back tomorrow.
Yeah. And then I guess mine was I got my Japanese driver's license finally.
After
congratulations.
How many
tries? Three tries.
I shouldn't tell you this, but I got as far as like halfway to opening up the app to order donuts, Krispy Kremes to the office today to like celebrate for you. And then somebody asked me a question or something and like distracted me. And then,
but it was Masa.
Yeah, it was one of you guys. And so we'll do that. That's
yeah, but it was a huge pain in the ass. It's 2 hours to get to the testing area. Like, they, in all of the whole prefecture of Saitama, there's only one place you can go.
So 4 hours each time?
It was, yeah, four hours each time.
12 hours total each time?
Hmm? Yeah, yeah. It was only like 2,200 yen to try, and then you had to pay another 2,400 when you got your license. Okay. But like, you had to take a whole day to do it, and it was just absolute hell.
Does
and then,
everybody have to do the same trip? There is no other location.
There is in Saitama, there's in Tokyo. There are three, but in Saitama, there's only one.
I see. I see.
And if you live in Saitama, you can't go to Tokyo. And it was just like the test is totally stupid. What they grade you on is the. They have this like ridiculous way of turning where in Japan it's different because you put on your blinker, then you check all your mirrors, and then you look behind you.
Do you say
and then
check?
You say check, and then you veer to the side of the road.
You say check?
You say check. And then you veer to the side of the road that you're going to turn on. Then you check your mirrors again, look behind you again, and then you turn. It's like a 3-6 point
First
turn.
Of all, you need to explain that this isn't even on a real road.
It's not.
It's on a designated course that they've built themselves.
That's right. It's like a closed course, and it's like this stupid... Like, if you go out and drive in Japan, nobody fucking does it this way. But they're like, this is how it does it in Japan.
Not to get too far, but like that's all driving tests are like that, though. Even when I had to take my... And I passed on the first time, thank God. But like back in America, like there was all this shit that you never actually do when
you're really driving in New York. In Tennessee, we literally took... Four right turns, and that was it. I didn't even have to fucking park my car. It was like it was the dumbest test of all time.
Lie, that was same for me. They were like, "We're not going to start testing you until we get to the neighborhood. So speed all you want, until we get there."
But here in Japan, it's like the test ends when you walk when you open the door to get out of the car, and they will say like, "Okay, get out of the car now," and then you have to look both ways. Open and like me being an idiot, like I don't ever do this, of course. So like when I looked both ways, I like banged my head on the window. and then like at the very end, the guy's like, "I'm passing you, but when you're driving out in the real world, don't check your mirrors and stuff so much. It's dangerous." And I'm like, "I did that because
you
that's what the guys told me to
what
do."
What happened the first? Why you failed the first two times?
Why I failed the first time? I failed because there's this place where there's this shrubbery. And you have to slow down very slowly to make sure no other cars are coming. And I didn't do that. And they failed me instantly.
What does the shrubbery have to do with it?
The shrubbery
cars
makes it...
Cars might pop out
from
the shrubbery.
There's hard... It's hard to see or
random
whatever.
Encounters. Just they
random
pop out.
It's like the stronger enemies happen in the shrubbery. And then the second time was like... So it's a closed course, but sometimes other people are taking tests. And so like I pull out of the parking area, stop the car, and then to my right, there's this giant Mack truck. And it like had just started its engines. And, like, I look over and I wave to the driver and I'm like, "Okay, is it cool to go?" And he's like, "Yeah, that's fine." And, like, I go. And then as soon as I get out, the guy's like, "Yep, the test is over." And he's like, "The guy, the truck had the right-of-way." And I was like, "Well, we communicated."
Wait, the parked truck had the right-of-way?
Yeah.
Because, the parked truck was on your right.
Yeah, he was on the right.
It was like a four-way stop.
Oh.
And he, like, threatened to move. But, like, it was just so stupid. They fail you instantly for the dumbest things. And they do that on purpose to make you come back. Anyways, I got my driver's license. Never fucking do it. If you're in Japan, like, just fucking drive illegally. That's all I got to say.
On that note.
Yeah, it's the worst thing I've ever done. Ever. Anyways, so that's it.
Let's wrap this sucker up. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
Again, as always. JJ, where can they find us?
They can find us on the web at our website, 8-4.jp, our second home, giantbomb.com. We also have an iTunes. You can find our thread on NeoGAF, where people are saying wonderful things about me. what am I missing? We got a Facebook. Check us out there, especially if you're Russian.
Oh,
and
JJ!
They're still liking our website.
We love them.
It's so weird.
Welcome.
And then we also have our Twitter at 84play, minus SPRSK.
Timely Howard.
Sarah Pods.
I am John TV.
Kotowari.
And Mark is Mark McD. And, you know, Hiroko 84, say hi to her.
Yeah,
she hasn't been on in a while.
Turn up again sometime in the coming months. We see her every week, but, you know, you guys don't obviously haven't heard from her in a while. But she's around. She's doing good. Chibi Shacho, living large.
Chibi Shach.
And also, so we have one more episode before Mark and I will be at GDC. Where we will once again be running a few pretty cool talks. I'm not sure what all has been announced yet. I know Resident Evil 7 has been announced, so look for that. We set that up. There will be a pretty awesome Resident Evil 7 talk at GDC with the director of the game.
And also Pete Fabiano, who is in the game, or he's at least in the demo.
He's in the game too.
Yeah. And some other cool talks. I'm just not sure what's announced yet, but next episode we'll go over all of them. And until then.
And then the Switch.
Yeah, that's right. Oh man, we're going to be, so is that a podcast week?
I actually don't know. I haven't updated our calendar.
I think the Switch launches on a podcast week when Mark and I will not be here.
It looks like the day before our podcast.
We'll be in San Francisco.
Okay, well then that's good. Because that means that we can talk about it when you guys are back. Perfect.
we'll figure that out.
And let's that very interesting note, programming note, who wants to take us out?
Strange. It's sunny, but it's raining.
The devil must be beating his wife.
Who? Beating his what?
You want